All right. Well, tonight I want to share with you a Thanksgiving message because we don't know what's going to happen on Sunday. There's some special things we're doing on Sunday, and I'm sure we'll mention Thanksgiving. We're going to be laying hands on some folks. So if you turn in your Bibles, let's see. Yes, would you please? Thank you. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 45. Isaiah, the 45th chapter. It's very daunting what we're facing as a nation and what we're facing as a generation. What I said last Wednesday, now what? The Lord's really laid that on my heart. Now what? Now what do we do? Because just because we got a person in a position doesn't mean things change quickly. It's kind of like moving a whole, a 40-foot rig, 18-wheeler, trying to get it turned around. It's going to take a while. And we need to pray. We need to pray for our president-elect coming in. But we also need to remember who we serve. We serve a great and mighty God. God's not striving like we are. God's already won. He's not breaking a sweat. He's seated on His throne and He rules. Isaiah 45, he talks to Cyrus. And a lot of people have drawn a line between Trump and Cyrus, saying that he is like Cyrus. But watch what he says in verse 2. He says, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. Verse 6 says, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. You say, well, God, you create calamity? That's what He said. He said that. Rain down, you heavens from above, verse 8, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. That, by the way, is what was asked to be prayed by Give Him 15. Trump will be the 45th president of the United States in Isaiah 45. If you'll pray that to the Lord before you go to bed tonight, you'll join thousands of voices that are praying as well. But I want to give glory to God tonight. I want to kind of not forget what's going on, because we certainly can't do that. But we can suspend it for a moment and thank God for what we have. How many are thankful for what you have? Amen. Thanksgiving is the only holiday that gets sucked up between Halloween and Christmas. And, you know, Christmas is the only holiday we celebrate 2 months out of every year. From November 1st to January 10th, it's all about Christmas. Am I right or am I wrong? The whole world takes a vacation for 2 months. Man, we got work to do. Light bulbs and, you know, Christmas trees and stuff and sales and starts in October. Yeah, some people start in October. I think we ought to refuse their citizenship. No, I'm just kidding. But in between all that's Thanksgiving. And let me read the decree, in case you have not read the decree by Abraham Lincoln. Let me read Abraham Lincoln's Thanksgiving Proclamation of 1863. It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. We know that by His divine law, nations like individuals are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world. May we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and one voice, by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. Isn't that an awesome statement? He wrote that by himself, by the way. He didn't have a speechwriter. Not for that. No. First American Thanksgiving occurred in 1621 when a group of pilgrims shared a feast with a group of friendly Indians. History books won't tell you that either, and they don't teach that in school. The first recorded Thanksgiving took place in Virginia more than 11 years earlier. It didn't occur in 1621, I'm sorry. It occurred in 1610 at Jamestown. Jamestown had been reduced from a group of 409 settlers to 60. The survivors prayed for help without knowing when or how it might come. When help arrived in the form of a ship filled with food and supplies from England, a prayer meeting was held to give thanks to God. So no, a couple hundred years before that. But it was officially sanctioned in 1863. So we ought to be thankful for everything we have. Someone said it's not happy people who are thankful, but thankful people who are happy. Thanksgiving, to be truly thanksgiving, is first to give thanks and then give. Gratitude, this is a quote by John Milton, gratitude bestows reverence, allowing to encounter everyday epiphanies, those transcendent moments of awe that change forever how we experience life and the world. So we have all kinds of excuses to praise and to thank God. Someone said, what if you woke up tomorrow with only the things you thanked God for today? I'd still have my hair. Just thanking God for my hair this morning. I was complaining that I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet, Confucius said. And then Zig Ziglar, the great Zig Ziglar, who died in 2012, said, look back in forgiveness, forward in hope, down in compassion, and up with gratitude. Look back in forgiveness, forward in hope, down in compassion, and up with gratitude. Amen? So I want to talk first about the voice of thanksgiving in 2 Corinthians 4:13. You'll see it on your screen, and you can turn to it in your Bibles if you like. 2 Corinthians 4:13. When we thank God, it's not in a begging way that we'd have more. It's not thanking Him to try to pull something from Him. It's just a voice crying out from our spirit man to thank Him for what we have. 2 Corinthians 4:13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. And so this scripture somehow tells us when we begin to praise out of the faith that God has given us, we begin to praise, it abounds to the glory of God. Every time we thank Him, whether it be openly like this, or we thank Him in the quietness of our home or in our prayer closet, or wherever we're at, when we're thanking God, it abounds to His glory. His glory is magnified in the world, even if we do it without anybody knowing it. It's connected somehow, the scripture says. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. So, thanksgiving in your notes is Eucharista. That's where the Catholics get the Eucharist, by the way. And it means gratitude, actively grateful language to God as an act of worship. Thanksgiving is gratitude and actively grateful language to Him in worship. The kind of thanksgiving we have is eternal in its nature. It's a voice that recognizes the eternal and uses that in this temporal world. Those things that sustain us, that's always been promised, we sometimes take for granted. But we don't want to do that. We want to thank God at every turn, just for the simple things. Grace is the fuel for our thanksgiving. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." That right there should give us impetus to thank God every day. But no, this upcoming holiday, we so often, I love turkey and stuffing and cranberry sauce and pumpkin pie. Man, I love a piece of pumpkin pie with coffee after you've eaten turkey. And then sleep. Then you gotta sleep. And then when you wake up, you go right back to the table and have more turkey and stuffing and cranberry sauce, another piece of pumpkin pie. It's great. But we need to remember to set that time aside and ask the Lord for grace and thank Him for what He's done. I think we ought to bring back Thanksgiving to a prominent place. You know, it occurred to me, I don't think there's any songs set aside. We don't sing songs for Thanksgiving. We do for Easter, we do for Christmas, do for the 4th of July. We really don't have any songs to sing for Thanksgiving. I think we ought to make a list. There you go. Grace is the power of God to stand against the enemy. It's the strength of God to declare our freedom. So we're thanking God that He's given us the wherewithal to put the enemy under our feet. Ephesians 3:20, if you'll turn there, Ephesians 3:20, what's what He does for us? God just doesn't give us just enough. He gives us abundantly, see? "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations." The power of God that can do more than we can imagine is working in us, His representatives. That is enough reason right there to thank God. That the enemy can't have his way in us. And the writers throughout the Word of God, they agree in so many instances about this humongous debt that we have that we could never pay back, the thanksgiving that we have to God. Jude, in his writing, in Jude verse 24, it says, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." Now watch this crescendo. Watch this, how Jude, you know, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, begins to just talk, and it grows into a large crescendo. "Now Him who is able to keep you from stumbling," that's good, "and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory." You know, if you're faultless, that means you're faultless. Praise God. "With exceeding joy." Jesus presenting you before the Father. "Hey, this is my daughter, Julia. This is my sister, Julia. This is your daughter. I'm presenting her to you. And he's jumping for joy. He's doing that to each one of us. He's always mentioning us before the throne. We are promised not to stumble. The grace of God allows us the power to stand. For that we ought to be thankful, and we are faultless, perfect before His presence. For that we ought to be thankful, and we ought to get joyful. Yes, there's all kinds of things to make us sad and to make us mad and to make us bad and all of that. But we ought to stay happy, and gloriously thanksgiving should flow from our being at all times. We have all kinds of things we involve ourselves in that we forget. I just read a statistic because I'm into running a little bit. 87% of the people in America who own running shoes don't run. Why'd you buy them? They're expensive. They're not cheap. If you're going to buy a good pair of running shoes, you're going to spend some money. If I just for buying them, I'd run just so I wouldn't feel bad about spending the money. Someone give thanks for His provision right now. Let's hear a testimony. What are you thankful for? Yes. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. My goodness, that's good news. Yes, sir. Praise God. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Someone else. What are you thankful for? Yes. Thank you. That's wonderful. Why are we thankful? The reason for thanksgiving, Roman numeral 2. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." That's a mouthful. Is it up on the screen? Look at verse 11. "While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." You know what that says to me? That says we have nothing to boast in. He who supplies seed to the sower, you can't even boast in the seed. You bring your crops in, it's because of the seed. Who gave you the seed? Who gave you the air in your lungs? Who gave you the soil? Who gave you the clothing on your back? Everything comes from God. What He asks us to sow is provided for us. What we sow is multiplied. Our righteousness is increased, enriched in everything. Enriched is plozito, and it means to make wealthy. God wants to make us wealthy. Now, wait a minute before you get all, "Well, I'm not wealthy." Yes, you are. It's not how many dollar bills you got in your wallet. It's what's in your heart, what's in your life. Come on, somebody. I'm a very rich man because of God's blessing to me. We are rich in every area we need to be to achieve what God intended for us to achieve. If it's achievable, there's nothing that can stop us. It's achievable because the Scripture says that it is. Paul recognized that when he wrote to the Corinthians, right at the edge of some of the most terrible persecutions that the church ever had to endure, was towards the end of the first century and the next couple centuries. There was tremendous Well, up until this point, the last 100 years have been bad for the church as well. But Paul is writing and focusing them on the reason for their thanksgiving is that everything comes from God. Lest we forget, everything that we see is passing away, but we are built for the eternal, praise be to God. And He gives us all that we need. He gives us all that we need. You know, time and time again, God stops me in my preaching. Sometimes I ask stuff. I don't know if you do, but I practice not asking stuff I already have. Come on, someone. I already have things, so I don't need to ask God. God promised me these things. Yes, Danny. Yes. Amen. Amen. Already healed, believing that. Roman numeral 3, the state of thanksgiving. So what's it mean to be thankful? What's it mean to be filled with thanksgiving? It's not, thank God we do it one day a year. If we had to eat turkey every day of the year, we'd take lots of naps. But we ought to be thankful all the time. So the state of thanksgiving, Paul touches that in Philippians. He says, be anxious for nothing. When you're really thankful to God, anxiety goes. I practice this a lot. I refuse to get anxious about things. You know, where your blood starts to beat, your heart beats, and you get all panicky and sweaty palms, and you're worried and concerned, and you're pacing the floor. There's a difference between having a burden to pray and being anxious. If you have a burden to pray, there's peace that's flowing out of that. You know, when you can't sleep and the Holy Spirit wakes you up and you're praying. It's not a fearful thing. But anxiety is. And there's more fear in this nation than I've ever seen. But we have to fight that. It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I wonder if heaven got the news about 2016. Is it delayed or what? I mean, does God know what's going on? Did they even know this was going to take place? Did God know President Trump was going to win? You could hear the conversation in heaven last Tuesday night, you know. God's staying up late, 3 o'clock in the morning. So the Holy Spirit, can you believe that Trump won Wisconsin? And Pennsylvania and North Carolina? He's elbowing Jesus. Can you believe that? Look at him go. He's got Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is my home state. That was a miracle in and of itself. They won Pennsylvania. God knows exactly what's happening. He knows exactly what's going on. I don't need to be anxious. I don't need to be upset. My state needs to be a state of peace. Terry and I both, we know when there's no peace in something, we stop everything. Because peace is promised. Come on, somebody. Peace is promised to us. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There's no time stamp on that. That's not just whenever we need it. That's all the time. We live in a state of peace and joy. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. Why? Because we know God's got it all worked out. We're interceding for our kids, you know, and praying for them. And I want to get anxious about that, but God, I stand on the promises of God. See? Requests that have a thank you attached to them are faith requests. When we make our request known to God, let your request be made known to God. When we do it with thanks at the end, already thanking Him for the provision or for the need or for the healing, that's where we want to be. That releases faith. And that releases peace and that releases joy. We know that God's going to take care of it. It's unlike an earthly request. Things have to be thought over. Applications have to be filled out. Provision has to be there with God. They already are there and they already are provided. Your faith separates you from the answer. So we release our faith and we ask God for these things, knowing that God is going to do it. What follows is amazing. Because we ask with thanksgiving, peace accompanies the prayer, and we are taken care of until the manifestation of that prayer takes place. God saw to it that the whole thing would work out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Someone give an example of how God provided for you out of nothing. You hear? A provision. Yes. Couple hundred bucks, right? Several thousand, yeah. Nice car. It's good provision. Somebody else got a provision, yes. We bought you the wrong color. Or just smile because your teeth glow. Even though you are going to Florida. Provision is a wonderful thing. And if we start going around the room thinking about God's provision, we'd be here till late. How God provides for us. Miracles. Man. I'm looking across your faces, man. Miracles. That since I've been here 4 years ago. Miracles that God just... How does that happen? It doesn't. Without God, I don't know how people live without the Lord. He just provides. Roman numeral 4 is the depth of thanksgiving. The depth. D-E-P-T-H. Depth. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with what? Thanksgiving. Watch now, because we are rooted in Christ. We're not just willy-nilly, just going back for a kind of a smorgasbord. Lord, will you bless me? Will you touch me? Will you do this? No, we have assurance. Like the old hymn says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased by God. Come on. We have an assurance. It's deeply rooted in our relationship with God. You want to have more thanksgiving, have more relationship. You want to have more relationship, have more thanksgiving. Indeed, the reception leads to the action. We are able to do the things we are called to do. As you have received Him, walk in Him. Praise God. It would seem insurmountable, some of the things that we're facing in our families, in our nation. Boy, some of the things we talked about yesterday at the meeting I spoke of just seems like it's just an insurmountable problem. Helping some of the families in our communities, they have gone beyond the pale. I mean, they're not even recognizable as families. How many know God loves them? And God's able to rebuild that. I believe that. Someone has got to give praise to God. The depth of thanksgiving. Someone has got to give him a shot tonight. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. What, abounding in what? Abounding in being rooted and built up in him. Abounding in it. Rejoicing in it. I'm not just an accident. I just didn't happen along. God chose me and set me in his family and planted me deep in his purposes. I'm in the soil that I'm in is good soil. I'm bearing good fruit for him. Why? Because he chose me. I'm hand selected. I'm not an accident. Thank you very much. I didn't get in through the side door. God brought me. He bought me with his own blood, Jesus. And he gave me life. That's the depth of thanksgiving. He's the Lord of our lives. And when he's Lord, he puts demands on our life. That's okay. We kind of don't like that, especially in the United States with our Western way of thinking. We think that everything is our choice. It is, but it's God's command. How many know when God says, don't do it, don't do it? That's final. There's no more talking about it. I don't know how you guys were in with your family, but with my kids, I'd talk about it, but when I made a decision, that was it. You couldn't come back and talk to me. Once we talked, we had family meetings, and I tried to be fair, but when the decision was made, Mom and I made a decision, that was it. No more conversations. But somehow the church has grown to a place where we think that we can argue with God and kind of change his mind. Once God says something and we hear it, that's it. We obey. Come on, someone. That's it. God says, don't ask me again. He said, Paul asked him three times. And he said, don't ask me again. My grace is sufficient for you. Don't do it. People have made thousands of dollars writing books on how to find the loopholes in the Word. This is what the Word of God says, but if you go this way, you might get past the angel in charge of that. No. As you have received, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established. That's a strong rock of strength. It's unshakable. It's immovable. As you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And that's really what the world is looking for in this era of the moving waters of our society. Thank God for people that do not change. Of course, the prayer of thanksgiving, Roman numeral 5, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Continue earnestly in prayer. Anybody know what earnest means? Somebody tell me. It's okay. Without stopping. Earnestly without stopping. What's earnest mean? Sincere. Honest. Forthright. Not trying to play games. Am I the only one that's ever tried to hide anything from God in prayer? You know, you go with the best intention because after all, you're standing before the King. So you want to present the prayer you think he needs to hear. And he's waiting for you to just share your heart. Because he already hears it anyway. He already sees your heart. He already hears what you want to say. Go ahead and say it. Come on, someone. Continuing steadfastly. So another version says, continuing steadfastly in prayer. This says earnestly in prayer. Prayer is the platform that we have for our relationship with Him. It's the springboard to passion. Our prayer life, when we pray to God and He answers and He gives peace or He says wait, or He says no, whatever it is, it's the springboard to passion. It endears us to Him. The power that each believer has in prayer. Earnest prayer is both full of faith and full of petition. Asking with a heart of anticipation and the knowledge that we have what we ask for. We have what we ask for. Jesus said, if you believe, whatever you believe, you'll have if you ask in His name. You know what the Word of God says? We'll have what we ask. Someone pray a prayer of thanksgiving right now. Would you pray a prayer of thanksgiving for us? Come on, someone, pray a prayer of thanksgiving. Yes, Lord.
But Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in this country. We thank you, Lord, for the wave of your spirit moving in this country at this time, Lord. That there's a sense of destiny that rises up in each one of us, oh Lord, that senses, Lord, that you are about to do a mighty work in our country. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we don't lose hope, that we continually keep our eyes fixed on you, who is the author and finisher of all that we do. We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. A thanks, a heart full of thanksgiving will move the Father's heart much more than a heart full of complaints. God, you know, I have all this stuff. I got to get it off my chest, and we complain. But when we begin to thank God, God takes care of our enemies. He puts to rest the financial, the physical, the mental. Those problems He takes care of as we worship Him, as we thank Him. He's the recipient, Roman numeral 6, the recipient of our thanksgiving. Revelation 7:12 rightly proclaims, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever.
Amen.
Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might. Praise filled with faith, praising Him and thanking Him for all He does. Glory is a recognition of the character of God. Blessing is filled with praise, but glory is a recognition of the character of God. Glory to Him. And wisdom. He is the fount of wisdom. He is the source of all wisdom. Everybody has a good idea, but God's always right.
Amen.
If we can get through all the din of voices and listen to God, I don't know how many times people have told me everything other than what God was telling me. Have you ever had that where everybody's kind of saying, well, I don't, are you hearing God or not? I don't think you're hearing God. And you go back to the Lord and He's saying the same thing. That doesn't mean that people are rude or they're, it just means that God's got something for you to hear. And when you hear it and move on it, that's the wisdom of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Times in my life when I was thanking God for all the counsel, I believe in counsel, but there's a couple times in my life when major decisions had to be made and everybody said I was nuts. It's kind of like the disciples in the boat. The 11 disciples in the boat. I believe they were telling Peter he was nuts. He may have saw the waves and everything, but he heard the voices from the boat. Are you nuts? Get back in here. He might be able to do it, but that's a spirit out there. You a man. Get back in this boat. Peter, what are you doing? Get back in here. A lot of times when we hear God, He's a recipient of our thanksgiving, but He draws us. Wisdom. So it says, blessing, glory, wisdom, and then it says thanksgiving. Grateful language as an act of worship needs to be part and parcel of everything that we do. 1 Timothy 1:17. Paul stops in his letter to Timothy, kind of takes a break, and he goes, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul just kind of stops in the middle of his teaching to Timothy, kind of coaching him, and he you can almost see him worshiping God in the prison that he's in. You can almost see him, oh God. That same scripture in Revelation 7:12 says, honor and power. honor to esteem of the highest degree. There's no one above Him. When we honor Him, we give Him glory and thanksgiving and praise. God moves on our behalf. You can take it to the bank every time. He's going to move on our behalf. Why? Because we put Him in the highest place. And then the scripture ends with power and might. Power is miraculous power. It all belongs to Him. We just borrow it. And might is ability. Several times I've been in situations, and so have you, where you went here, you went there to the source, to what you thought the source of the problem might be, or somebody that could help you, and you forgot to go to God. And kind of God just said, hey, you never asked me. Why don't you just ask me? I'll save you your finger from dialing people. I'll save your wallet from paying somebody else. God is the greatest psychologist in the world. God is the greatest psychiatrist in the world. God is the greatest medical doctor in the world. And He uses, don't get me wrong, He uses. You know, I was talking to somebody today. Thank God. Who knew that we would get to a place in society where you could go and you could talk to another person, sit down and tell them their symptoms, and they give you this little pill and you go home and eat it for a few days and the sickness goes away? How many know that's a miracle? People poo-poo that. You know, they say, well, you shouldn't take pills. It's a lack of faith. Well, get out of here. That's a miracle. You take a little pill and you put it in your body and in 3 or 4 days or 10 days or whatever, it's gone. The sickness is gone. Whatever it is. Praise God for all of that. However He chooses to do it. Sometimes just instantaneous healing. I'm for that. That doesn't cost me anything. But He works through that, yes. Yeah. That's right. I mean, who knew? Who knew? It's amazing how the body rebuilds itself. Synapses and things, and you're able to connect stuff and walk. It's a miracle. God, that wisdom comes from God. It doesn't come from man. It comes from the Lord. So we have an abundance of things to be thankful for. If we started making a list of all the things to be thankful for, there's not a person in this room could finish it before midnight tonight. You started thanking God for everything He's done in your life, is doing. You would not get out of here till midnight. He's just so, He provides everything. He's so faithful. He's so faithful. Why in the world would we ever think that God is somehow out of control? Look at the universe. That He goes, yes. Amen. He's got it covered. Praise God. He really does. And think about the people that need what we have. In our time of thanksgiving, think about the people in our own community that has nothing. It has nothing, no hope. We're their only hope. As we pray and intercede that they would be blessed, that children would be protected. Some of the things I heard about the kids the last couple days just made me angry. Made me want to get a lynch mob together. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? Just go take care of some of these adults. What are you thinking? These are innocent children. You know, no matter how big our problems are, they can't even compare to some of the things that families are facing right now that are living right near us. And so our thanksgiving abounds to God, so He's able to move. So in our thankful attitude, we reach out and help other people. God's not out of control. Nothing's out of control. God's got everything in control. We're the ones that are out of control. If we just, you know, if we fall on our faces, as Scripture says, and cry out to Him, He'll gain everything back in control again in our universe. Amen. Amen. He's so faithful. So, Father, I thank you tonight for your faithfulness and your wisdom and your strength and your ministry to us, God. You are always ministering to us. Lord, you're so faithful. You provide the seed. You provide the crops. You provide the money that we have, the clothes on our back, the cars that we drive, everything that we have, Lord, is because of you. Others may think they got it with their own hand. That's not true. Lord, we didn't get it with our own hand. We got it because of you. You took care of us. You reign on the just and the unjust. As we turn and give thanks, as the leper that was cleansed, the nine that went away without thanking, we come back to thank you, God. We come back to thank you, God. Thank you, God, for our lives, our eternal souls. Thank you, God, that you wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, God, that despite what happens here, no matter how short or how long we're here on this mud ball, God, heaven is our reward. Being with you is our reward, God. And we thank you, Father, and we'll stand. Father, cause us to stand and be strong during these days. These coming days when men's hearts will be tried. Father, we'll be the ones that are declaring your faithfulness and thanking you for your awesome hand of mercy on our lives. We thank you. We bless you. Now, Lord, I pray that each and every one that are going away for family or having family in, God, may your spirit dwell at every table. Lord, may you be glorified. Lord, may you give us real ways to bring up in the conversation Jesus Christ and your faithfulness. We thank you and we bless you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.